right, we continue here on Cap and Haw as we are going to talk with Eric Edholm, who does great work at Yahoo 120 Sports, former Pro Football Weekly guy. And then we'll get back to Charlie and Larry and John and you. And I'll just read you one tweet that you can keep this in the back of your mind when we get back to baseball. Cap man, I'm a season ticket holder. Can you imagine if the Cubs make the World Series and had to play at U.S. Cellular? I'm with you. No chance.
That's an extreme example. I'm talking
about
practicality. But let's get to Eric.
I'm just reading you the tweets.
I'm just telling you what I think.
Eric Edholm joins us now. Free agency gets started next week in the National Football League. All right, Eric, good morning. So how active do you expect Ryan Pace and John Fox to be shopping for big-ticket items like at Neiman Marcus? Are they going after Devin McCourty? Are they going after Ndamukong Suh? Or, look, it's a couple-year process. They're not going to be good this year. They're not going to go crazy.
Well, the first two guys you mentioned, I'm not so sure about. Number one, I'm sure you guys heard Vince Wilfork was not picked up his option for $9 million or whatever it was next year, 8.9. That to me suggests that the Patriots are going to find a way to keep McCourty. It sounds like he might be willing to take sort of a friendly contract there. Revis obviously can come off the book and go back on for something like $14 million. So I suspect McCourty isn't going anywhere. Has just been my feeling, even though the Patriots have been super tight-lipped about it. And Ndamukong Suh, it's funny to hear 3-4 type teams looking at him. He could play in any game. He's that good, but I love him where he's been as a 3 technique in an upfield rushing 4-3 team. So I don't know if that would be the money best spent, even if you are robbing an NFC North contender. So I kind of expect the Bears to be at like the off fifth. You know what I mean? Like just the one step down. I could see them certainly adding talent in a couple different spots, defense, wide receiver, et cetera. But big ticket spenders, I don't know. I don't know if that's the wisest way to go about things.
You know, Eric, I want to ask you about the state of the running back in the NFL. You've got Adrian Peterson, who is in the perpetual state of limbo with the Vikings, and he's not sure he wants to go back there, and they want him, and he's kind of, you know, we saw how that played out yesterday with the meeting with Mike Zimmer. You've got the 2013 rushing champ who was traded, LeSean McCoy, from the Eagles to the Bills, and if you know what Chip Kelly's up to, please tell me. And you've got last year's leading rusher, DeMarco Murray, who's going to be a free agent. So how much more can that position be devalued? And I guess from a local perspective, how do you think that affects what the Bears might be thinking moving forward with Matt Forte?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think devalued is the right word in the sense of financially speaking. Because, I think teams see it, and nowadays, you used to always say, okay, 30 years old, these guys are done. But now it's more of a function of carries and touches. You look at somebody like McCoy with 1,500-plus career touches. Yeah, he's only 26, but it's better – this is the Eagles thinking, I believe. It's better to get rid of a guy a year ahead of time than a year too late. And be on the books for $10-plus million for a player who was good, but who was coming off the field in goal line situations at the end of the year. I think that was pretty telling. It was pretty clear at that point that I thought they were going to move on from or ask him to take a severe reduction in salary. And you mentioned Peterson. I think the Vikings say they want him back, so they want him back at $12-plus per year. I don't know. The Cowboys are letting DeMarco Murray hit the market after what he did last season. Unbelievable. I think they're looking at it saying, hey, he's coming off a 500-touch season, including postseason. He's a guy with injury history. We can't assume he's going to be back doing the same heroic stuff he was a year ago. So you're seeing it all over the place. I think C.J. Spiller was crazy to reportedly turn down $4.5 million per year before they swung that trade with the Eagles. So I think these guys have to understand their values. Maybe their agents can work in incentives. Hey, if you gain X number of yards, you get this many dollars, et cetera. But, yeah, you're seeing it all over the place. There's some good, cheaper options at running back, whether it's veteran guys, younger guys. The draft is plentiful this year in that position. So, league-wide, teams are trying to slash as much salary as they can from that position, knowing that they go through the meat grinder and they're used up pretty quickly in this league.
Eric, we're talking to Eric Edholm, does great football work, Yahoo, and at 120 Sports. Eric, when you look at the Bears, now there are some people, David and I disagree on this, and I know it's a league where you could turn things around quickly, but I look at that division, I look at the schedule, I look at their team, and I think you're looking at a 5-win team next year. I don't care what they do in the offseason. I think that they went in with their eyes wide open, Ryan Pace and John Fox. You could turn it a couple, 3 years, but they're not going to the playoffs next year. And if that's the case, why pay aging veterans big money if you're not going to be any good anyway?
I hear you. Yeah, I mean, maybe the 5 wins is on the lower end of things. I don't know. I mean, there's still some talent there, obviously, but I think John Fox is a good coach. He's really only had one terrible year in the NFL, and that was because he sort of had his legs cut out from under him down there in Carolina. But, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. You know, everybody wants immediate results and answers and all that stuff, and they want, you know, quick-fix solutions. But, you know, just look at the teams that have been successful year in and year out. They've built through the draft. They've built with undrafted free agents. They've made smart bargain signings. They've re-signed their own players. You know, the guys you know best are the ones who are in-house, you know, not the other people's gems who end up getting more money once they hit the market. So that's the tried and true way. And Ryan Pace came from New Orleans, where the Saints got themselves in a lot of salary cap trouble over the years and had to cut veterans. And, you know, the players you sign this year, 2 years from now, you may have to swallow hard and make tough decisions on it. And you can look at Lamar Houston and Jared Allen and say, well, what happened with those guys? They sounded like good ideas at the time in theory, but, you know, now you have some maybe some ill-fitting parts there. So we'll see. That's why I said I don't think they're going to go out and hit the market guns blazing. I don't think it makes a lot of business sense, and I don't think it makes a lot of football sense, especially if we're talking about a two-year reclamation project here.
You know, Eric, I was kidding a little bit earlier and said about what Chip Kelly thinking, but when you look at that seriously, you have to wonder if you're an Eagles fan what he is thinking. I know he's won 20 games in 2 years, but now there are reports that free agents are even leery about signing with the Eagles because of the uncertainty and the volatility with which he sort of run this organization. He's got rid of DeSean Jackson. He got rid of LeSean McCoy. Jeremy Maclin's going to walk. You look at what he did. Trent Cole is no longer an Eagle. I know the ramifications to the salary cap and the reasons a lot of these decisions have been made have been financially driven. At the same time, from a football perspective, how has what's the perception of Chip Kelly now as he continues to get more power in the personnel department? And it has, in your mind, weakened his power base in Philadelphia because of the inability maybe to bring players in?
Well, it's a fascinating question. Obviously, money is going to probably dictate a lot of it. And it wouldn't shock me if they go out and land Jason Worrell, the outside linebacker from the Steelers, Byron Maxwell, the corner from the Seahawks. They're going to make hard pushes on both guys, probably going to add a safety. You know, that could maybe let somebody like Nate Allen go. So, yeah, I mean, it's a fascinating debate. I think some people are fascinated by Chip and say, I went in on that. That's the kind of guy who you can be an average receiver in that offense and do good things. You can be a good running back and do great things. Chip cares about his quarterback. He likes his offensive line. And I think his belief is, I can get by with dudes, you know, just guys running my system. We've obviously seen this backfire at times in the past. Steve Spurrier and people like that, Jones and in Cleveland, you know, certainly bringing in your college guys that you know, and sometimes there's a little arrogance with that. But I think ultimately, if you're all in with Chip, if you buy into the team program and he helps build that defense up, we could be talking about a superpower if he gets the right quarterback. I really firmly believe that he's an innovator. He's got Jimmy Johnson to him. He's willing to look at things differently than maybe the other teams do. And swimming upstream has served teams like the Seattle Seahawks and New England Patriots pretty well. You know, doing things against the grain, looking at it with a different lens than other teams do. So, yeah, he's a hard-line guy. And if you're not in line with the program, he'll cut you and do so unemotionally. But I tell you what, I still think he's an innovator, and I think he's a guy that, with that increased power, is going to have a lot of say over how the roster looks exactly, whereas perhaps Howie Rosen, the GM, kind of gets pushed to the margins a little bit.
We're talking with Eric Edholm from Yahoo and 120. Eric, when you look at Adrian Peterson, you look at Matt Forte, if I made you the GM of the Bears and the phone rang and it was Rick Spielman and he goes, look, I just left his house. He doesn't want to stay with us. We tried. We want him back. He wants to play in Chicago for whatever reason. I'm not saying he does. I'm just painting you a scenario. You got a guy in the final year of your deal, 30 years old. Matt Forte. I got a guy in the final year of his deal, 29 years old, Adrian Peterson. I'll swap you. Would you do it?
Wow, that tempting, fascinating situation. Obviously, you know, different types of backs. I mean, Matt is so good in all three phases, catching, pass protecting, running the football. You know, you'd like to see what he could do in more of a, I don't want to say traditional offense, but more of a balanced, you know, type of scheme where it can really play to his skills. But you're right, there is that cliff, and you almost feel like Peterson is the kind of guy who is willing to go over that cliff, that he might throw all those numbers about age and number of touches and everything out the window and could still be running with force at age 33. Might it drop off precipitously after that? Yeah, but you don't know exactly how these guys are going to hold up. But I always feel like it's better, maybe I'm being a little conservative here, but better to keep with what you have. You know, and Forte, I still think, can be a valuable guy. He evades tackles pretty well. Hasn't taken a ton of wear for as many carries as he's had, I think. So it's tempting, but, you know, you take on a little bit more than just the player with Adrian Peterson, as we've seen this last year or so.
We appreciate you taking time as we let you go. Do the Bears make any big noise in the next 10 days, whether that's Jay coming or going, Brandon coming or going, and a major signing? What's your prediction?
Yeah, it's funny because, I mean, maybe 3-4 weeks ago, or even after hearing the combine comments from Pace and Fat Fox, the lack of commitment to those guys, I would have thought that one or both might be gone, but we're kind of closing in on that deadline. The receiver options are plenty, but the quarterback options are limited. I almost feel like they stick with Cutler, which also means you probably have him for 2016 too, given his money. So it's a little surprising, but I think those big moves may not happen. Marshall is probably the more likely in my mind.
Yeah, we actually have breaking news from Brad Biggs reporting that the Bears are now exploring trade options to get Brandon Marshall out of town.
Boom. There you go.
Thanks, Eric.
That makes a ton of sense. Yeah.
There you go.
Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Talk to you soon.
All right, guys.
There he is, Eric Edholm, who does great work. Yahoo and 120. Really good football guy. Brad Biggs, your guy, my guy. Love him. Hate that he's a Capitals fan because he's so deranged in his hockey knowledge. But
that is true. That's the one thing about Biggs you can't trust.
Scott, what he just wrote, the Bears declined to commit to Brandon Marshall when asked about the veteran wide receiver last month, and then now the team is exploring trade options 5 days before the start of the new league year. One NFL source said the Bears are shopping Marshall with the idea of moving him. They cannot be finalizing any trades until 3 p.m. Tuesday. We'll take a time out. We'll discuss that and talk baseball and Cubs Wrigley renovation. All coming up. Cap and Haw.
This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN Plus.
You know, I don't know if it's fair to kind of give a full evaluation. You know, I think, you know, really took part of the test, so we still got more questions on the test, and, you know, we'll continue down that path and hopefully make the best decision for our football team.
There's Johnny Fox. Fox in the house. He is our head football coach, and he and Ryan Pace making the value decisions on the Chicago Bears and Brad Biggs. That was him on Brandon Marshall, and Brad Biggs talking about the breaking news that the Bears are seriously investigating trade discussions to move Brandon Marshall out of town.
Makes a lot of sense. Before free agency, you want to know what you're going to be working with, and you also have a deadline looming with Jay Cutler that you want to know a little more clarity there as well. Not shocked, Cap. You heard about this coming. It hasn't been dealt yet. I think they're trying to evaluate what they can get for him. What would make sense? Brian Hartline was in town yesterday, and according to Adam Schefter, he's going to be visiting the Texans today. The Texans have a need at wide receiver as well. Andre Johnson is going to be an ex-Texan if he isn't already. So there's a lot of movement. The one thing that I will, you know, reiterate here in terms of the Brandon Marshall, Jay Cutler discussion, you have many more alternatives to wide receivers, to replacing Brandon Marshall, than you do a starting quarterback, even one as flawed as Jay Cutler is. So I would not be shocked at all, and I think that we've been pretty consistent here, at least in saying that, of the two, my thought would be that they would bring back Jay Cutler for another year, which is still yet to be determined, and Brandon Marshall would be the one more likely to be removed from the roster. And that seems to be the direction they might be leaning. At the same time, this report doesn't have anything, you know, there's no certainty to it, but it just sounds like if a team makes this known around the league that a guy is there to be, you know, dealt, he usually is either dealt or cut.
Correct. That's what we were talking yesterday with Dickerson on TV and with Adam Johns, and we had Schuster and we had Judd Surratt, and then yesterday Carmen, Adam Hoger in here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand, whether you like Jay or you don't, Brandon, whether you like him or you don't, if you're truly thinking of going forward in any way, shape, or form with these guys, do you leave them twisting in the wind like this, especially your quarterback?
Yeah, absolutely. That's part of being a professional athlete. I think that's part of pro sports. You don't want to tip your hand. Now look, we had this discussion at the right around the NFL Combine. If you're a head coach, you could have understood somebody who wanted to chart the course for his organization, say, this is my starting quarterback, this is the way we're going to do things, live with it, right? They didn't do that. And so that now that they didn't do that, they announced that limbo is going to be where you're going to exist for the short term. Even after free agency, if they commit to Jay Cutler and he remains a Bear past the contractual deadline, you don't want to be so you don't want to hug him necessarily. You don't want to get behind the idea.
He can still be traded at the draft.
You don't want to remove the possibility that you need a quarterback at number seven, because that's a very valuable asset to have, right? You're at number seven. You want people to think that you love Marcus Mariota, which is another report.
Even though he'll never be there.
Never's a strong word. I don't think he would. I think it's likely he won't. But never is a strong word, especially when you're talking about the NFL draft.
True.
So what I'm saying to Cap is that I don't have any problem at all with them being ambiguous about the futures of Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall, because I think that's just pro sports. You're not dealing with fragile psyches, and if you are, deal with it.
Deal with it. You're getting paid well to deal with it.
Absolutely. The Brandon Marshall thing is sensible because it would save the Bears $7.7 million in cash, $3.95 on the salary cap. Dead money, yes, but I think that's already a sunk cost.
All right. 312-235-2525. We'll get to these Cubs calls. You do make a very valid point. You never know what happens in the draft. Bo Callahan slid all the way to six. I mean, who saw that coming?
Oh, I think everyone saw that coming.
Vontae Mack going number one.
The minute that none of his friends showed up to his 21st birthday, I saw that one coming.
Exactly.
So, come on.
And then when he lied about the $100 bill in the back of the playbook.
How can you lie, Bo? Come on. That was a test, and you failed. You failed miserably.
I watched it again on the plane coming home.
I want to see speaking of Costner movies. You watched it again?
I did.
I want to see McFarland, USA. Is that the new one? The cross-country
movie?
Yeah,
with the running one.
That is great.
Yeah, I heard it's good. I haven't seen it. So, lots to do, lots to talk about. Larry on the south side is a Cub fan. He calls all the time. You won't believe where he'd rather go. John in Algonquin and you, and we'll get a hit
with
Trey Demps.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Trey Demps, the hero of the week.
Three huge shots the other day. It's all coming up. It's Cap and Haw. This is CSN and WGN Plus.
From Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
7-6, Demps puts up the three for the tie. Good! With 2.4, tie game. Kicks left corner, Demps, three for the tie. Good! With 3.2, he did it again. Trey Demps ties the game, 71-all.
That's, as David put it earlier, good thing they didn't name him Deuce Demps, or we'd be talking about a Northwestern loss. Instead, he's Trey Demps, and he joins us now here on Cap and Haw. Trey, welcome back to our show. Good morning, and congratulations on another outstanding performance
the other night.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, appreciate it.
So David said a little while ago, boy, if they named him Deuce, we would have lost. You hit these big-time threes. You have a father who was a phenomenal player. Where did the calmness come? Because you don't look like you're nervous at all at any point.
Yeah, I mean, like you mentioned, my dad, you know, when I was younger, we would actually, you know, after we would work out, we'd always work on those situations where, you know, he would throw the ball up to me with maybe, you know, 12 seconds on the clock, and I'd have to, you know, score on him. And, you know, he was a pretty good defender. He actually had this thing where he would play his NBA defense. And so it kind of, you know, made me nervous. But, you know, just practicing that for years and years, I think kind of really helped me prepare for those moments to take the last shot.
Trey, you've done this quite a few times now. I don't know if you've done it in a situation quite exciting as the other night, because that was one of the more entertaining college basketball games of the year in the Big Ten. And so I just wonder, during the huddle, during the time where you guys are trailing, or you know that this is a type of shot you're going to want to take and that you have hit before, what's your mindset? Do you say anything? Is Chris Collins looking at you or other guys looking at you? What's that like in that huddle before you hit these big shots?
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the huddles, you know, I think everybody, the whole team, the coaching staff has confidence, you know, to go to me for the last shot. And it's crazy because, I mean, I wasn't playing a very good game up until that point. But it just shows that, you know, the guys and, you know, the coaches had unbelievable confidence in me to still take that last shot. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you got to get fortunate. You know, we had some tough losses where we definitely should have won. So it's just nice that the ball finally bounced our way.
When you go through a change from Bill Carmody to Chris Collins, that's just not a different guy calling the shots. That's an entirely different way to play basketball. How tough was the transition from Princeton offense, matchup zone, 98% of practice is spent on offense, to a guy who said, we're going to play more of a up-tempo Duke-style game?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a difficult transition at first because, you know, like you said, you're used to playing a certain way where, you know, it's a lot of just cutting and movement. And then you go to, you know, having to make reads, you know, off of ball screens, having to, you know, play a little bit more, you know, a little bit more isolation basketball. And then obviously the biggest transition was defense. And, you know, we really had to, you know, learn a lot of principles, a lot of terminology we had to pick up really fast. But I think the guys have done a great job of embracing it. And, you know, we're building something great up here in Evanston.
So what's the mindset now? You guys have been playing very well lately. You went on a little bit of a win streak. You came back with a victory on the other night against Michigan at home. You're getting ready for the Big Ten tournament. Certainly, most people might think, okay, you got to play for the NIT berth. It doesn't mean a whole lot. But I think that to this Northwestern program, it would represent something. It would represent another opportunity to get better and to prove that this, you know, program under Chris Collins has made some progress.
Oh yeah, it's huge. I mean, we're definitely not, you know, we're looking at this thing, you know, obviously game at a time, but in the big picture, you know, we definitely want to, you know, clinch a NIT spot and just keep building. You know, last year we had 14 wins, and you know, we want to get a couple more wins this year, and then you keep building, and that's how you get to, you know, the promised land. Obviously, kind of the elephant in the room is the, you know, making the NCAA tournament. So, you know, we're taking this time seriously, even though we won't get an at-large bid but this year. But we just really want to keep building.
Hey, before we let you go, your name is not Trey in terms of on your birth certificate. It's Delano Jerome Demps III. So where did Trey come from?
It's actually a funny story. I think the first couple weeks of my life, my name was DJ. But then, or maybe not a couple days, but Will Smith's son was actually born not too, a little bit before me. And they saw, my aunt saw that his name was Trey because he was the third Will Smith. And so they kind of just copied off of that and thought that would be a good idea for me.
Pretty good.
I also think it's funny, Trey, maybe you experienced this after the game the other night when you were interviewed, but you actually practiced post-game interviews with your dad after when you were a kid, after you hit big shots. So you were prepared for whatever came your way from the microphone the other night.
Yeah. We, you know, after a workout on the way home, he would ask me questions. I remember I always used to mess up. My dad's like, no, can't say that. You know, you're gonna make the program look bad. And, you know, it definitely paid off.
How's your dad doing?
He's doing good. I mean, they're winning a lot of games. Got a huge win last night. I think they won 5 out of 6, maybe.
That Dell. Yeah.
And so that we just need Russell Westbrook to stop getting triple doubles, and we'll be in good shape.
Well, maybe tonight he'll stop the streak against the Bulls.
Your dad is the GM of the Hornets, so please give him a message. The Pelicans. The Northwestern media guide still says Hornets. The Bulls have Anthony Davis in their crosshairs. We're getting him to Chicago.
No. I think he likes the warm weather in New Orleans.
You got it. Hey, we're really proud of you. Glad to have you on again, and keep it rolling.
Keep up the good work.
Appreciate you guys.
Take care. Keep it going. There he is, Trey Demps of the Northwestern Wildcats.
Just a nice kid.
Yeah, I know it's the Pelicans, and I'm reading their media guide. Yeah. Delano Jerome Demps III, son of the current general manager of the New Orleans Hornets.
Yeah, and what's neat about that is that when he was younger, Dell Demps was a director of player personnel for the Spurs.
Right.
So Trey would take summer vacations to San Antonio. He'd be a ball boy for the summer league. He'd meet some guys. He would run into Tim Duncan, Tony Parker. These are the kind of guys he grew up around.
They helped mentor him.
And you can see that this is a kid who has grown up around the game and is not fazed by much.
And by the way, team's got to stick with one nickname. He's calling him the Charlotte Bobcats. I'm calling him the Hornets. Enough with the changing
the
of the nicknames.
I think you could read the paper and get the idea that the Pelicans and the Hornets are two different places.
Yeah.
New Orleans, Charlotte.
They have a little bit of, you know, stability.
Trey
Cubs,
he knew what
Sox,
he knew
Bulls,
what you meant.
Bears, Blackhawks.
Dell Demps is a great guy, too. He's a pretty good guy to deal
and
with.
And Trey is also an Honor Society student.
Yeah.
Academic honor roll. He channels a lot of me in him.
That's right. The model Big Ten student athlete. Trey Demps is all those things and more. No question about it. So when he hits big shots like that, the kid in your head, you're happy for him, but you're not terribly surprised because he's done it before.
No
Remember
question.
When he scored 13 straight against IU last year?
Yes.
Kid's had a pretty good career so far.
By the way, you must have been the guy of the duo here, of our partnership. You weren't a great student in college. I was the one that was academic all everything, correct?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. We'll go with that.
My mom is listening going,
you've
got to be
absolutely.
Kidding me. All right. We'll get to Larry and John on the South. Larry on the South Side, John in Algonquin, and then we'll get to Bears calls. Brad Biggs reporting that the Bears are engaged in some talks to try and move Brandon Marshall and his onerous personality out of the locker room. Let's grab these calls before we break. Larry on the South Side. Hey, Sir Lawrence, what's up?
Hey, Larry.
Hey, Cap. Hey, Haw. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Listen, I was listening to you about the Miller Park, what Haw was talking about.
Yes.
Listen, Miller Park is called Wrigley North for a reason.
Why?
You know, because Cubs fans love to make the track up there. When the Cubs played the Astros, when they had weather
issue. That's when they're playing the Brewers for one series, three games at a time. Are you really going to go up there? Is it going to be more convenient?
Yes.
No.
I travel there. I've made several trips to watch the Cubs play the Brewers, and I live in the South Suburbs. Okay, and I make several trips to Miller Park because I love the experience. Why I want to go play, want to go to U.S. Segler Field where you got an owner and a fan base that really don't like you. So I love the trip to Miller Park.
Well, Larry,
Larry.
Larry, thanks for the call, man. All right, there's our guy, Larry.
I don't know about you. I know I do know about you. I don't like to waste time. Do you like to waste time?
No.
I know you don't like to waste time.
I don't.
To me, thinking about driving an extra 60 miles at least is a colossal waste of time.
Where I live, I can get to Miller Park faster.
It does. I don't know. I mean, really, you'd rather start out. You don't know what's going to happen. You start out on a 69-mile trek. You just don't know what's going to happen. Wouldn't you rather just stay in Chicago, Mr. Chicago?
Yeah, I would prefer. I think it's better for our economy.
It's better for everything.
It's better for loyalty, but I completely understand where some Cub fans are coming from.
Don't want to go south.
Let's go.
Anything south of Evanston is considered south side to you.
John in Algonquin.
South side.
Hey, Johnny.
Hey, John.
John.
John, you still there?
John going once, twice, gone.
He was going to make the same point. Easier to get to Miller Park than the cell. I get it. But it doesn't make any more sense to me why you would approach the Brewers rather than the White Sox.
I think we should be loyal to our economy here. better for the city. Get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curved 4K Ultra HD TV at Apton Glenview. Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet smart TV functions available. Come into App today, see the complete selection of Samsung electronics, or call them at 847-544-2228. 847-544-2228. For complete satisfaction, free delivery, a better experience, shop where we all shop. Apt, A-B-T. Jared Payton bought a big 75-inch TV there the other day from our buddy Steve Shapiro. Apt, app.com, pleasing people, since 1936. One thing for you there, Sparky.
Mm-hmm.
If the White Sox stadium was under construction and they could play at Wrigley, or they could go south 60 miles and play at another major league stadium if there was one, there is no chance they'd go play at Wrigley.
Why?
None.
Why?
Sox fans despise the Cubs.
I think that that would be as impractical as this is.
We'll be right back on Cap and Haw.
It's Cap and Haw.
Hey, John, what's going on there, cowboy?
Jameson Winston, after taking his aptitude test at the NFL Combine, finds out his jersey number is higher than his IQ. That's whack, bro.
Who?
Jameson Winston.
Ken in Hammond. Hey, Ken.
Just Jay Cutler. That's whack, bro. That's it.
Thank you, Ken. Hey, Dan.
With all the money that Chicago baseball fans have spent over the years, they ought to build a baseball stadium called Mini Banks, because it takes a mini bank to go to the game.
Jesus.
We had some good ones and we had some not so good
Sorry
ones.
Sorry, I missed that one.
That's whack, bro.
Yeah.
Kevin Haw continuing here on Comcast Sports.
The question is, if the Bears trade Brandon Marshall, do we continue with That's Whack, Bro? Because he was the originator of the
absolutely.
That's Whack, Bro. Kind of in memory of Brandon.
No question.
So what do you get for Brandon Marshall? I think that this is, again, Brad Biggs reporting that the Bears are shopping Brandon Marshall. There's a danger in that too, Cap, is that when you find that there's a lot of wide receivers out there, you know, there's a lot of alternatives, You're likely not going to get as much in return when it's known that you would like to rid yourself
of this
guy.
I'll say you get a sixth-round pick.
Oh, boy, that's giving him away.
Yeah.
That's basically giving him
Maybe
away.
Maybe a fifth.
You would want a third or a fourth. I don't know that you're going to get that given all that comes with.
Okay, you know
he
him.
He could be a highly productive player.
You know him.
Yeah.
If you're John Fox and Ryan Pace and the phone rings and it's Seahawks.
Mm-hmm. Pete Carroll?
Pete Carroll.
Yeah, be careful there because they're dealing from a position of strength.
Pete Carroll says.
And that's a very intriguing possibility.
Look, yeah. We'll take a chance on him. I think my locker room can handle him. Mm-hmm. We'll give you a fourth round pick. You doing it?
Thanks, Pete. Good luck.
Done?
You might want to room him with Russell Wilson during two-a-days.
Put
him
with Lynch.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I would take a fourth-round pick for him.
Fifth?
I would think fifth. I would want it maybe conditional. But I would probably take a fifth for him at this point.
Okay, if you can't trade him, do you cut him?
Yeah.
So you'd take whatever you could get.
If you've gotten to the point where – let me say that. If you've gotten to the point where you've determined you're better without him, to the point where you're going to deal him, you want to deal him, you've determined that
– that he's untenable here.
Yeah. So I think that you're better off just going down that path and getting what you can. There's some intriguing possibilities out there. The Colts are a team that needs some wide receiver help. Can you imagine him?
You better have a strong locker room.
You need a strong discount the Buffalo Bills. They're getting everybody else.
Can you imagine that?
That's like the land of misfit toys.
You'd have Sammy Watkins and Brandon Marshall, pretty good duo.
Yeah.
If they're both, you
lockered
know,
right next to Shady McCoy.
Rex and, Ryan and Marshall.
And Richie Incognito.
Rich,
and they were former teammates.
And Shady.
That's quite a locker room.
Quite a locker room.
That's a reality show right
that
there.
Is.
That's Hard Knocks. Please go to Buffalo.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Please
Hard Knocks,
HBO,
Buffalo.
Find your way to Buffalo, Western New York. It's a great place to visit as long as it's not the winter.
Wow.
So,
hey, Joe in McHenry. What's going on there, Romeo?
Hey, Joe.
Good morning, Brooke. Morning, Cap, huh?
Brooke's down the hall right now.
Oh, so
Sorry about that. My comment, I have a comment and an idea. My comment is, how come nobody's ever asked Jay Cutler what his problem is?
Are you serious, Joe? The guy gets more abuse than any athlete in this town.
He does.
So I that's an invalid comment.
I made a vow to my wife when we were out of town that I would not ever again let him get my blood pressure up.
What's your question, Joe?
Well, that was the question. My idea is, you guys talked about the Crosstown Classic. How come, if you want to name it after Banks and Mini, call it BMO, and BMO Bank could advertise it.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate the phone call.
Thanks. Appreciate it. We'll let George McDaniel, Brooks Boyer, Colin Faulkner, and Crane all know.
BMO. Okay.
Jerry in the West Loop. Jerry, what's going on there, Buttercup?
Hey, Jerry.
Oh, guys, I got a comment, and I'm asking a question. Let me ask the question first.
Okay.
How long do you guys think that the Bears fan, and this especially to you, Cap, is going to allow the Bears to rebuild? Number one, how many years are they going to give them, or how many months? If this Bear team end up 5-11, Bear fans are going to forget the beginning of the season and say, hey, you said that these guys could walk on water. Answer that first, and then I'm going to make a comment
to
you guys.
You get a year. You get a year.
1 year.
Yeah, you get a year. You got a 60-year-old head coach. You don't want more than just 1 year.
Okay.
It's reasonable.
Now, here's my comment.
Okay.
I'm 71 years old.
All right.
White Sox Cub fan. I'm a Chicago fan. I follow these teams, and this is probably because of Brandon Marshall. The Chicago area cannot deal with certain personalities. We could have had Kareem Jabbar. We said we didn't want Reggie Jackson. He went to New York and won 3 or 4 championships. Seriously, we didn't want Kobe Bryant. There's certain personalities.
How did Dennis Rodman work out for you?
He worked out real well.
He worked real pretty well.
Yeah.
I think there are exceptions to your rule, and I'm not sure it's a very good rule. I think that it's a case-by-case basis, Jerry. I know what you're saying, but I don't know that the geography or the demographics of Chicago make it any more or less conducive for flamboyant personalities.
You remember they said that this kid, Winston, the guy said, man, he clowned in Florida. We can't send this guy to a big city. This guy will be in...
You can't send him to any
city.
He's
talking about Jameson Winston?
Immaturity is portable. It travels to every city with you. That's not the issue. The size of the city, he got found trouble in Tallahassee. Ever been to Tallahassee?
Small. Jerry, thank you for the call, buddy. Appreciate it. 312-235-2525.
Jameson Winston.
Pass.
You got that, Mr. Coughlin?
That's right.
312-235.
How about the New York Giants for Brandon Marshall?
Him and Odell Beckham and Ruben Randall and Victor Cruz? No shot.
I'm just saying, can you imagine him playing for a guy like Tom Coughlin?
Oh, he'd go
after
crazy.
The country club he's lived in the last 2 years?
Tom Coughlin would destroy him.
Oh, man. That's not kind of the kind of coach.
How about this one? How about if he goes to Tampa?
I don't think they're going to do that. They're set at wide receiver, and the Lovie Smith experience in 2012 with Brandon Marshall was enough for me to think that, given what I know, I'd be shocked if Lovie Smith wanted to go down that road again.
By the way, Trent Cole in Tampa right now.
That's a better move. That's a definitely a Lovie Smith move.
No question.
Come play defense for me, you washed up veteran. No, not washed up. Not,
you
that's
aging
not fair.
Veteran.
You aging veteran. Come give me what you have left. And by the way, save a seat for Lance Briggs.
Exactly. Lance will be right there with you.
Next week.
Mike in Algonquin. Hey, Mikey.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good. What's up there, Cookie?
Hey, I think that if the Bears trade Brandon Marshall, I think that Alshon Jeffrey will have a very bad year next year because all the distractions with Brandon and all that. I was just wanting to see what your guys' take is on that.
Mike, I think it's a good question. I think that Alshon Jeffrey could struggle regardless of Brandon Marshall here or not. Or let me rephrase that. I think Alshon Jeffrey has a lot to prove regardless of Brandon Marshall's presence or not, because I think it's going to be a contract year. I don't think he had a great season. I don't think that he played hard all of the time. That's not a reputation you want to get as a young player, no matter how explosive you can be at times.
It also depends who they put on the other side of him.
You need somebody that's going to command some attention. Brian Hartline might be that guy, but I think you need more than Brian Hartline.
Completely
at this stage
agree.
Of his career,
Brian
he's number
Hartline's
three.
Your third
yeah.
Agreed.
Thanks,
Mike.
Thanks
for the call, Mikey. Appreciate it, pal. 312-235-2525. Ed is in Georgia. Hey, Ed, what's going on there, pal?
Hey, Ed. How y'all doing?
Hey, what's happening, fellas?
What's up, you bulldog?
All right. Comment, man, as far as the trade and the Marshall and everything, I agree with what the guy just said as far as if we do trade them or get rid of them, Alshon's going to struggle because he does need a complement or a receiver to help him out as far as, getting open. And if we just left with Alshon, he's going to get locked down, man.
Well, they're not going to go into a season with just him as your only threat. I think they're going to be very.
Saying, who they going to bring in?
You don't know. You don't know yet. I think there's a lot of receivers out there. There's a lot of options. There's more alternatives at wide receiver in the NFL market, in the free agent market, in the draft. Then there are for quarterbacks.
Like who you think will come here?
Brian Hartline, Amari Cooper, Andre Johnson. I mean, there are guys out there. Jeremy Maclin.
A receiver first.
What's that?
Jacoby Jones, buddy.
They're going to draft a receiver first.
No, I'm just saying you're asking me for names. There's a name. I don't think they're going to draft a receiver. I think they should trade down.
I think Amari Cooper would be gone off the board before we even think about getting a receiver.
Yeah, Amari Cooper will not be there when the Bears.
No, you asked for a name. The point is, there are people that you can plug into that role that would be a professional downfield threat that could complement Alshon Jeffery.
I figure Marshall is that, man. You know, he's learned. He's been through a lot. He's learning.
Makes everybody around him uncomfortable. He's also a locker room potential.
You talk to people that are with this guy on a day-by-day basis, they do not want him around.
And then Hartline or something?
Brian Hartline was in yesterday.
Man, come on, man. He's not going to help us, man.
Well, he can be a third.
He can be a third receiver. Don't overstate the significance of that. Nobody's saying he should be a number one.
Let's just not take this move as the be-all, end-all. There could be another move coming that replaces Brandon Marshall with a really good player.
Can we tell you this, though? John Fox, pretty good football coach. Ryan Pace was around some pretty good football coaches, a pretty good organization. If they're going to this point, as far as they are to trade Brandon Marshall or to see what they'll get in a trade for Brandon Marshall, you have to believe that they don't believe the risk is worth the reward.
Lance Moore.
Well, that's not going to solve all your problems either. That's a guy.
He's another guy.
He's a piece. But my point is that if they're shopping Brandon Marshall, there's a reason. If his football production, if they valued that over the potential distraction, then he wouldn't be on the market cap. There's just no way.
Agreed. Get the clown show people out of our town. Bye-bye. See ya. Clean the mess up, fumigate Hallis Hall, and then let's rebuild it. Right. 312-235-2525. Be right back.